Wow. What a blessing. What a blessing. Very excited to see all of you guys here. You know, like I said, today's our first Sunday as First Love Church Philadelphia. You know, that's very exciting. That's big. That's a big deal. So yeah, I'm very excited to see all of you guys here. It's an opportunity and it's a great blessing. And you know, like Jody said, you know, the word of God is truly alive. And we have to believe that when you come to church, you could have joined any other service. You could have attended another church. You could have got on a YouTube live stream, but you found yourself here. This is the church you're at. So you have to truly believe that, you know, there's something that's going to be said during today's message. You know, yesterday, somebody brought to my attention something that I said during the preaching last week. And it was something that wasn't even planned to be said. Like it just came out. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. You know, there's somebody that needed to hear that message. There's somebody who needed to hear that thing. And there's something today that's going to be said by through the Holy Spirit that is that needs that somebody here needs to hear. Where one of you, maybe it's even myself, but one of us needs to hear the word that's coming for us today. You know, I am just a vessel. God is just using me to share something with you. But God has a message for you. Yeah, God has something for you. The Bible says that we must receive the one whom God sends. So as God has sent me, God has a message for you, and you have to have an open heart and be ready to receive it. Amen. So let's have a quick word of prayer before we begin. Father, I thank you for this time in your presence. Lord, I thank you for another Sunday, another opportunity to share, to teach. Lord, I pray that you will use me, God, that you will speak through me. Lord, I invite your Holy Spirit to join us today on this line. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be with us, that your Holy Spirit will connect with us, oh God. And Lord, your word says, wherever two or three are gathered, you are there. God, as we've come today to church, as we've gathered, oh God, be here with us, Lord. Speak to us, oh God. May we not leave this Sunday service the same. As you've given us a door, as you've given us an opportunity, oh God, help us, oh God, to not be an adversary to ourselves. Lord, may our heart not be an adversary, oh God. May our minds not be an adversary, God. May our heart and our minds or even our flesh stop us from receiving what you have for us to receive this afternoon. Lord, your word says that there's a door for effectual work, but there are many adversaries, God. As you've given us a door into Philadelphia, God, I pray, God, that the adversaries that stand before us, that stand in the door, oh God, you will give us the wisdom on how to encounter them, God. You will give us the understanding on how to deal with them, oh God. Strengthen us for this new season. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 What a blessing. What a blessing. So, you know, the past couple of weeks, we've been doing a series. This is actually our last series on this subject, but we've been doing a series on accusation. We've spent maybe, I think, 3 weeks up until now discussing accusation. You know, it started with, I'll read you the titles of the different messages. So the first week was on July 17th. Yeah, July 17th was the first week. And, the title or what we discussed that day was some of the benefits of dealing with an accuser. That was the introduction message. We discussed the benefits of dealing with the accuser. You know, I want to encourage all of us. Let me just take a step back. I want to encourage all of us to take a moment when you get the opportunity and listen to our podcast, First Love Church Philadelphia on Apple Music. You know, it's a great blessing that we have the ability to record these messages. I want to encourage us to re-listen to the preachings. Again, and something will enter. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the word of God. So as you are hearing the messages again, not just once on Sunday, but as you listen to it again, something will get in. Amen. But the first message is on the benefits of dealing with an accuser. And, you know, I gave about four or five benefits of dealing with an accuser. And, you know, we explained that week, you know, what is an accuser or where does accusation come from? Some of the benefits were things like, you know, salvation, strength, God's will for your lives, the power of Christ. These are all some benefits of dealing with accusation. In the following week, we learned about the hidden laws of accusation, and I discussed some of the different laws of accusation, right? So number one is your relationship. So by laws, I mean that when accusation comes into your life, these things will surely happen. When I say a law, it means that it will surely happen. If there's a law on the highway that all cars must go 55 miles per hour and you are driving faster than that and someone catches you, it will surely happen that you get a ticket. By laws, it will surely happen. So the first law is that relationships will be polluted with accusation. The second law is that you will be accused of the exact opposite of what you really are. The third law is your accusations will not stop until you react wrongly. And then lastly, it's the motive for accusation is deeper than the issues presented. Wow. And then last week, we discussed some of the different aims of the accuser. You know, I think in particular in this series, if there's a message to go back and listen to, I would say last week's message, that I really would suggest or recommend, you know, re-listening again to last week's message is the goals or the aims of the accuser. Number one, to degrade you, to make you fall into sin. And, you know, I explained how all of these things are step by step, like a process. Like first you'll be degraded, and because you are degraded, you will fall into sin. And because you fall into sin, you will be discouraged and confused. And then because you are confused, you may turn a friend into an enemy. Yeah, all of these things are progressions, like a progression, a natural progression of accusation. Mercy, Lord. And then lastly, you yourself become an accuser. Amen. So yeah, I would recommend re-listening to the aims message, the aims of the accuser. I would recommend re-listening to that message. Amen. But for now, or for today, this is our last and final Sunday. Next week, we are entering into a new topic, a new discussion. I do just want to say quickly before we start, if you know anybody who should be with us today in church, or somebody who you see who's not here, you know, you can text them the link, invite them personally. Even if you need to call that person, please do so. Amen. So the title of today's message, or the last message of the Employees of the Accuser series. Wow. The Accusation series, or the Those Who Accuse You series. The title of today's message is Employees of the Accuser. Wow. Employees of the Accuser, like people who are actually employees of the accuser. And just as a recap, as a refresher, who is the accuser? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, please. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. Yeah. So, I mean, today's a very special day. You know, we can always remember that the first Sunday in First Love Church, Philadelphia, the first message we ever preached, or the first message that was ever preached, was Employees of the Accuser. Wow, what a blessing. So, yeah, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it tells us here who the accuser is. The Bible says here that, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters." So the accuser is the devil. The devil is the person who is the accuser of the brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah, the devil is the accuser of the brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, as I'm saying all these things, it's important that these things get in. Because you see, this whole series, I remember when this series was going to begin, you know, I texted one of the bishops in our church, Bishop Henry, the Bishop of First Love Church North America. I texted him and I was basically asking him, you know, I don't know how to preach this message, because I don't think that this topic is something that's relatable to my members. And he told me that, oh, you shouldn't underestimate your members, or you shouldn't think that maybe like it wouldn't connect with them, or maybe that the Holy Spirit wouldn't say something through you that would benefit them. That's how I began this series, you see. So even me, I had doubts, but the message itself, and I've realized, like, as I've gone through the message, and even as I've gone through the book, like the message itself, it has something for us in it. Yeah, it has something for us. And I want us to keep it with us, because some of us may have never been accused by a friend before. Some of us may have never faced serious accusation before. Some of us may have never even really accused ourselves before, but a time will come where everything we've learned, everything we've discussed, we need to keep it with us. If you turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verse 14, Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says here, so it's a parable here that Jesus told about particularly the word of God. Like, that's what Jesus was speaking about here. He was speaking about the word of God. And Jesus was trying to say here and trying to encourage people here. Mark chapter 4, verse 14, It says, the farmer sows the word. So the farmer is myself. And the Bible says that some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So right now I'm sowing. The past 4 weeks, we've been sowing on accusation. Sowing and sowing and sowing. Soon as 1:30 comes, or soon as 1:45 comes, Satan immediately takes the word from you. like immediately is gone from you. That's some of us, unfortunately. Some of us lose the word immediately. Verse 16, please. And then others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word at once, receive it with joy. So like you see people in church, when the message is being preached, they're shouting, amen, mercy, Lord. It's like there's excitement in the church. But since they have no root, because they are not deep, many Christians are not deep, unfortunately. Yeah, because many Christians are not deep, when they hear the word of God, what happens to the message? They only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, another word for persecution is what? Accusation. When trouble or accusation comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Mercy. Yeah. So many times, or many of us, this is the bulk of us. This is the bulk of the Christians, unfortunately, is because we have no root. We hear the word, we receive it. If I ask you about this series in 3 months, you'll be able to tell me something about it. But when accusation actually comes, when the time comes that you need to pull from what you've learned, you have nothing in you because you have no root. You haven't listened to the message again. It hasn't gone down deep in your heart. Verse 18, please. Still, others like seeds sown among thorns hear the word, but the worries of this life. Yeah, so maybe it's like you're here in church today, but life has come. There's been a lot of worries. There's been a lot of cares. I think it says, yeah, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things coming. You know, I like the fact that it encompasses that last line. It says, it's not even just the worries of life, or maybe it's like money. It just says simply, you desire other things. Like your desires are not really to be a Christian, or your desires are not really to hear this message. Like you desire other things. And it says that they come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. To make something unfruitful means that it produces nothing. It means that when accusation comes, 3 weeks ago, when I told you that when you are accused, don't respond right away because you then become an accuser. And then the devil begins to employ you. When I told you that 3 weeks ago, you'll forget it when the time comes. An accusation will come and you'll fire off and you'll say what your mind is. You'll say how you feel. You'll say your opinion. You'll say everything. But I gave you a wisdom key and you forgot the key. You forgot what you were supposed to do with it. And that's what the Bible is saying here, is that it makes it unfruitful. Like the message itself has done nothing for you. It's like I talked for 3 weeks. I said nothing. Basically, it's like there was no point in me speaking. I should have never have spoke. Yeah, hope you're seeing. And then verse 20. It says, others like seed sown on good soil. So this is the last group of people. Notice how this is the last group. Others like seed sown on good soil hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Yeah, but even those who accept it and receive it, look at the difference amongst them. Some of them produce 30. It means that some of them, it's only going to help them to a certain place. Others produce 60. It means it only help you to another place. And then others 100 times what was sown. So some people will receive a message and it will change them completely. There are some people who will hear this accusation message and they will never become people who will accept it again. But then other people will accept it fully, or they'll receive it fully. Yeah. So I just want to encourage us, you know, as we've come to church, I just want to encourage us that, you know, hear this word and accept it, like this verse says, right? Accept it and let it produce something in you. Let it actually do something good in you. Let it actually do something useful in you. Yeah, let the word not just be unfruitful. I pray that you will be like this person. I pray that you would be like the person with a good soil, that you will hear the word and accept it, and it will produce a crop 100 times. Amen. Amen. So employees of the accuser. Yeah, Satan wants to use us, right? Satan wants to use us and he wants to get to us. Satan wants to talk to us, but because he can't. See, as Christians or as people, we all operate in different realms. We are human beings, so we operate in the physical. Satan is not a physical human being, so he operates in the spirit realm. So how would somebody in the spirit realm get to somebody in the physical? He would use a person. He would use a vehicle or a means or someone in the physical realm to touch who he's trying to touch, to reach what he's trying to reach. And Satan likes to use humans. He likes to use people close to us. You know, we've learned that one of the things we've learned during this series is that accusation is most effective from those close to us. So mothers or fathers accuse children, children accuse siblings, husbands accuse wives, relationships accuse, I mean, it's like those closest to you are those who will accuse you the most. Yeah, and let me just say, you know, I can just say this. If you find yourself in a relationship where you're constantly being accused, it's like you're always being accused of something, like, oh, I know you did this, I know you did this, I know you are doing, it's like a constant accusation. I am telling you today that you should quickly leave. Like quickly leave, because what they are doing is, number one, they are accusing you of something, but it's like they are trying to call a problem. Yeah, they are trying to call an issue into the relationship. Yeah, like you should just speed up. Or maybe you're in a relationship with somebody and you know every time you argue, oh, I'm gonna leave, oh, I'm gonna break up with you, oh, I can't keep doing it. Just end it, because it will end. Like maybe the relationship breaking up is laying somewhere, like it's in the corner somewhere, and you keep calling it. Whatever you call will eventually come. So as you keep calling the problem, as you keep saying that, oh, I'm gonna leave, it will come. So just quickly end it. Don't be in a hurry. Don't play around with it. Just end it quickly. I believe we'll be blessed. Jude 1, chapter 9, please. Employees of the accuser. But then even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Yeah, so the archangel Michael was being employed. Yeah, Satan employs people. He can employ you. Yeah, Satan can employ you, mercy Lord. He can employ people like you. People just like me and you can be employed by Satan to go out and to accuse, to become accusers. And I'm praying that as we've heard this message, you know, we'll put it somewhere and use it. Yeah, we'll put it somewhere and we'll use it when the time comes, that will actually have a change in our lives. So the first type of employee, as we quickly go through, the first type of employee or the first employee of Satan is insecure and jealous people. Yeah, insecure and jealous people. Insecure people killed Jesus. Yeah, the people who killed Jesus were people who were insecure. They were insecure because he had a big following. They were insecure because he said he was the Son of God. They were jealous because people accepted him. People flocked to him. You had priests. People called themselves priests, and they were never able to follow people the same way. That's why if you find yourself ever someday as a pastor, as an LP, even as a center leader, and you find yourself comparing, yeah, the Bible says that comparison is the thief of all joy. If you find yourselves comparing your numbers or comparing your group, maybe you look at your numbers and they're small and you are wondering why somebody else's numbers are what they are. That type of comparison is the same comparison that killed Jesus, because people were looking at his followership. People were looking at the miracles he did and how people came to him and asked for miracles. And it's like, oh, I'm also a priest. I'm also a priest. I've also been ordained. How come nobody's coming to me? But they're coming to this man who just now said he's called at 30. We've all been around him. He's just now saying he's called now at 30. Yeah, it's because of insecurity. Insecurity makes a lot of good things bad. It drives a lot of problems. It's like even as we've all come together, we've all gathered here for church. It's like we're all happy here at church. Even if we're small, we're all happy here at church. There's something inside of you that's wishing you were at another branch. Or there's something inside of you that's like comparing. It's a type of insecurity. It's like you want something that isn't yours. Yeah. Be careful of those type of people. People who compare you to other people or compare you to like, oh, you're not really like this. I wish you were more like this. I wish we were like this. No, be careful. Yeah, be careful of anyone who's like that, because what they will eventually do is they will go and get what they want. They will go and get where they go, where they want to go. Yeah. Mark chapter 15, verse 9. Mark 15 and verse 9. Insecure and jealous people are the first type of employee. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Said Pilate. This is Pontius Pilate. He's having a conversation with the Jews. And he's asking them, what should he do with Jesus? Yeah, as they want him to kill Jesus, he's asking them, what should I do? And verse 10, please. Knowing it was out of self-interest. Yeah, self-interest. So I said insecure people, it comes from is like a self-interest. Like, oh, what will benefit me? What will make me happy? What will do this for me? It's all self-interest. Yeah. That's why if you have someone, you know, in your life and they are very self-focused, they are only interested in themselves. It's like they have no interest in you, just only their self-benefit. Or they only are involved with you to get something from you. You must know that this person is a dangerous person. Yeah, people who are users. Maybe that's another more direct way to say it. People who are users, people who just use and use or take and take. or take and take. Yeah, take and take. I used to have a friend some time ago. All he did was just take from me. It's like, oh, can I borrow this? Oh, can I borrow this? Oh, can I use this? Can I? Never. But then when it's time for me to ask, how many of us know some people like that, a friend? It's like they ask and ask. But then when it's time for you to also call on the friendship, they are nowhere to be found. When it's time for you to also use them the same way, they can't be around. Yeah, it's a shame. Mercy, Lord. So yeah, so insecure and jealous people are the first type of people who can be employed by Satan. And pray that you don't become somebody who can become insecure. Yeah, never think that insecurity is far from you. It's right around the corner. Yeah, it's right around. Insecurity is right around the, or jealousy is right around the corner. It's just a step away. All it takes is just a simple thought to compare. Yeah, insecurity can come just by a simple thought. Many of us, we all have, you know, we all have insecurities, but many of us is like, the way we deal with it is by not thinking of it. Yeah, but it's there. And maybe it's even working. Mercy, Lord. Maybe it's even working, but you haven't dealt with it in a certain way. You haven't sat down and analyzed what are my insecurities, but you must sit down and deal with it because they plant seeds. They dictate how you behave. Insecurities is what drove these people to kill Jesus. Yeah, they plant seeds. They dictate how you behave. Some things you react to, you react to them because of your insecurities. Nothing else, but just because of your insecurities. Amen. Fearful people. Next type of employee of the accused are fearful people. Yeah, fearful people. Matthew chapter 25. There's a story there. Matthew chapter 25. It says here, so this is a parable that Jesus was telling. It says here that then the man who had received one bag, this is a parable of the talents. If you've ever heard the parable of the talent, this is people who, it was a parable in the Bible where Jesus tells a parable of a man who had three servants and he gave them each a different group of talents. And the last servant, he gave him one talent. And Jesus says here that then the man who had received one bag of gold came. He said, one bag of gold or one talent. He said, I knew that you are a hard man. What? Harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Verse 25. So I was afraid. Mercy, Lord. So I was what? Afraid. And went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Yeah, went out and hid. Yeah, fearful people can be an employee because they hide things. They hide how they feel. Anybody who doesn't tell you how they feel, you should be afraid of them. Yeah, anybody who doesn't say what's on their mind, be afraid of them. You know, I've heard our founder, Bishop Dagur Mills, who say again and again, he doesn't like to be in a meeting with people who don't talk. Yeah, because it's like, what are you thinking? As we've all come and we are all saying things and we are all talking, what are you thinking? Why are you not saying what's on your mind? Yeah, people who don't talk, be afraid. Mercy. Yeah, people who don't talk, you should be afraid because if you are somebody who we should feel safe around, you should be able to say what is on your mind. And Jesus was saying here that this servant in particular, he was somebody who was afraid and he went out and what? Hid. And see the reason he hid or the reason he was afraid is in verse 24. He didn't say it originally. He didn't say his view of the person originally. If you go back to verse 24, he didn't say the way he thought of the person originally. Verse 24. Yeah, he says that. Well, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown. Basically, is that the man is a crook, that his boss or his leader is a crook or a thief. That's what he's saying. He's saying that I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, like benefiting from something you didn't put in. That's what it means to say that you are harvesting from what you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered. It's like the way this guy viewed his master was that he was somebody who was always benefiting from a place he didn't work for. That was his deep down in his heart feeling. And that's why he went to go and hide his bag of gold or hide his one talent, because of the way he viewed the guy. And many times when people don't say how they feel about you, it's because of the way they view you. That's why I said, be careful of people who don't say their mind, because it's an issue with how they view you. They see you as something. Yeah, they see you as an issue. They see you as somebody who maybe is what, a harvester where you have not sown, or gather where you have not scattered. Mercy, Lord. So pray against these type of people. You know, the Bible says in John 6:63, I think we have that verse. John 6:63, the Bible actually tells us that the words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. Yeah, when people say things to you, when people say, you know,
Like, they describe you. You can become what somebody describes to you. Yeah, if somebody says you are jealous, if somebody says you are this, you have to pray, because you can actually become what people say you are. I'm telling you, you can be like, you can practically become it. You can even accept it. You can become what you say you are about yourself. If you say to yourself, I'll never overcome this. Or if you say to yourself, oh, I feel like this thing is a weakness of mine. Some things are only weaknesses for us because we continue to say it's a weakness. Yeah, I'm telling you, some things only remain a weakness because it's like we acknowledge it and we say, oh, I'm weak. Oh, I'm in this. This is my personal weakness. This is where I am. I'm struggling with it. Some things are not really a struggle. It's just that we have to have a mind of an overcomer. You have to have a mind that you've already overcome this issue. Or I have to have a mind that this issue in particular, I've already overcome it. Yeah, whatever personal issue you're struggling with, maybe you have some personal challenge to the side that we don't know about. You should have a mind from today that I've overcome it already. Yeah, I've overcome whatever this problem is, I've overcome. I'm good. Even tell yourself I'm good. Just by simply telling yourself I'm good, you see that like it weakens the power of the thing. It weakens the power of it. Amen. The third type of employee of the accuser are who? It comes from Psalms 106, verse 21. But the third type of employee are forgetful people. Yeah, people who forget, those who forget, people who forget. And many times, what I've seen many times is that people who forget are the most aggressive of accusers. Yeah, like because they have forgotten so much, they feel like they become the most wild, or they become the most aggressive, or they say the most, or they really try and bring you down the most with the most power and the most impact. It's because they have forgotten what you've done for them. They have forgotten the benefit that you have been to them. You know, right now in our church, our prophet, Bishop Dagher Mills, he's facing some accusations, and it's by people he's done a lot for. And those same people have forgotten. Yeah, many of them have forgotten it. You know, it's funny, when the time was going around, one of the guys, I'm sure some of you saw the videos, we were sending it on the national page and things. One of the guys was talking at some church event, some program. He was talking and he was praising prophet. I mean, he was praising Bishop. He was saying all the positive things he's done for him, the times he's been patient. He was saying so many things. So he remembered. Yeah, he remembered the things, but now he seemed to forget all the good things. He seemed to forget why the person was there for them in the first place, why they found themselves here in the first place. And that's what happens when you forget the things that the person has done. Many times, unfortunately, children, young people, we forget what our parents have done for us. Yeah, we forget the things they have done, the way they've gone out of their way for us. Yeah, it's unfortunate. We seem to forget, and it dictates our behavior. It changes us. We begin to become proud. Yeah, the next step from forgetting is becoming prideful. It's actually tied together. If you forget, you've become proud. Once you forget, you've become proud. A humble person doesn't forget. A humble person remembers. They remember what somebody has done for them. They remember what the person has done. At times, the person went out of their way. Yeah, you know, I can never forget what many of you in this church now have done for me. Yeah, you can't forget. There's some things you shouldn't easily forget. Yeah, amen. But, you know, a great example of some people who forgot or people who were so blatant in their forgetfulness were the children of Israel. And I think the verse is here. Yeah, Psalms 106, verse 21. It says simply what? They forgot the God who saved them. Yeah, these people were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves. If you ever take time and read through the story of Moses, they were slaves in Egypt. They were so much so slaves that when God called Moses to go and talk to Pharaoh, at a point, Pharaoh said that these people don't have enough work. That's why they have time to pray to their God. And he gave them more work. Yeah. So God saved them from even more work than they were already experiencing. But they said that what? They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt for them. Yeah, God has done great things for you, but you can't forget. Don't forget when God has saved you, when God has answered your prayers, when God has delivered you. There's some people who are no longer in your life because of God, not you. Yeah, don't think you have great cutting off power. Sometimes it's God's cutting off power. Amen. Verse 22. Miracles in the land of Ham and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. Verse 23. So he said he would destroy them. Yeah, this is God's mind about people who forget. Those who forget are people who forget what God has done for them, maybe what your parents have done for you. Sometimes when you forget like that and it becomes a pattern, as it did for the children of Israel, God's mind is he will destroy them. He will destroy them. Like, his mind is to simply just finish you. He will destroy them, because why should you forget? Why should he allow you to forget everything he's poured? I mean, just imagine you pour so much into someone and they forget everything you've done for them. Won't you be hurt? Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them? Yeah, to keep his wrath. Somebody prayed and stepped in and kept them alive, because God's mind was to finish them. So I pray from today that you will not be forgetful. You will not be like people who forget. You will not be like those who will not forget. Always remember what somebody has done for you, even the little things. Always remember. Those things will keep you humble. They will keep you around. They will sustain you. They will keep you at a certain level of humility. Amen. And lastly, as we close, we're closing. The second to last, but one. The second to last type of employee of the accuser is the melancholic temperament. Mercy, Lord. The melancholic temperament. Those people who can be melancholic. Now you may be wondering, or maybe asking, oh, why are melancholics getting a shot here now? Or why are melancholics getting attacked? See, the melancholic temperament, for those of you who don't know, I'm sure most of you know, but the melancholic temperament is someone who, it's a type of temperament, type of personality type you have. And the melancholic is typically a perfectionist. They are very analytical. Don't get me wrong. Melancholics have great parts about their personality. They're analytical. Melancholics are very loyal people also. They are very loyal. So if a melancholic is with you, they are with you. Like a melancholic friend, it's like they are with you. You have to really do a lot to lose a melancholic friend. I mean, you have to be very wild, because once they are with you, it's like they're your friend. They're with you. If you are a lady and you want a husband, you should look for a melancholic husband, because once he's there, he's with you. Nothing you can do. He's there. He's tied. Amen. But yeah, melancholics are perfectionists. They are loyal, very analytical. But see, because they are so analytical and because they are perfectionists, they very easily can see and can feel when people make mistakes. Yeah, like it's like you really feel it when somebody makes mistakes, when somebody does something wrong. You feel it and you can see it. Because you're such a perfectionist, it's like you even have an idea of the way the person should apologize. Or you have an idea of the way the person should react. Or maybe you say something and they didn't react how you wanted them to react. So it's like you have a better idea. Like, no, you should have said it like this. Or you should have approached this like this. Or you should have recovered this like this. But you can't dictate or tell somebody how they should respond to you. Mercy. So yeah, a melancholic temperament is somebody who can really be an accuser, because you are such a perfectionist that you think you know how people should relate with you, or you think you know how people should, even when they make a mistake. Okay, no problem. You've made a mistake. Now this is how you should apologize to me, or this is how you should reconcile, or this is how you should make it up. No, but you can't give people a formula like that, because everyone is different. So yeah, the melancholic temperament is the fourth type of employee. So pray if you are a melancholic. I don't know, I mean, people's temperaments here, but if you are a melancholic, pray that you don't allow the perfectionist in you, or you don't allow the emotionalness in you. You know, that's another thing about melancholics. They can be very emotional. They feel a lot. They express themselves a lot. When you're a melancholic, you feel, it's like you are hurt and you really feel it. It's just like, it's with you. You just don't let it go. You know, as I'm talking and as I'm saying all these things, you may be wondering, how do I know? Because me, I'm a melancholic. So I can tell you how I know these things. Mercy. But yeah, like melancholic is like you really feel it when people maybe do something you don't like or dislike it. It's like you feel it. Yeah. So pray for yourself as I'm praying for myself. Pray for yourself that you don't use these things against people. Amen. And then lastly, the last type of employee of the accuser. This one may hit some nerves, so please steady yourself. But the last type of employee of the accuser is the phlegmatic temperament. Yeah, the phlegmatic temperament. Yeah, I see some people are shocked and blown away right now. But yeah, it's the phlegmatic temperament. Yeah, so you know, for those of you who don't know, there are four main temperaments. Sanguine, choleric, phleg, and mel. The melancholic is number four employee, but the phlegmatic temperament can also really be an accuser. And there's a verse. I want us to read a verse together. But yeah, there's a verse for it. I don't think we have this verse. But let me show you guys this verse. Yeah, phlegmatic temperament. I see people are blown away. You never thought it could be you. You never thought it could be you, huh? Let me find this verse for you guys. Matthew 25, 26. I actually think we have this verse. Matthew 25 and 26. I think we have this verse. If not mistaken. We may not have it. But Matthew 25, 26. Let me read you guys this verse. So the phlegmatic can be a big accuser. Yeah, and I'll explain why. 25, 26 says that his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and sloth. I think we have this, if I'm not mistaken. We may have it, but his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I strawed. Yeah, Matthew 25, verse 26. But yeah, so the phlegmatic can be a big accuser. And you may be wondering why. It's because phlegmatic people are often, because they're so laid back, phlegmatic people are so chill, so relaxed. It's like nothing can bother them. It's like you are even steady, you are just there. That's one of the things about phlegs. You are just so chill, laid back, you are just there. Because of that, you begin to see yourself as like, oh, these people who are so excited, so hyped, so crazy, so everything, I'm just too good. And it's like you begin to view yourselves in a perfect way. You become self-righteous. Yeah, you become self-righteous in your own eyes. It's like because you are so chill, when people are doing a lot, it's like, oh, me, I'm chill. No, that's not me, but that's you. Yeah, that's really you. And the phlegmatic temperament or the phlegmatic personality. And quickly notice when other people fall short. Yeah, you also notice because you are so laid back, you're also very observant. Yeah, you are very observant. You like, it's like you can see everything. When somebody does this, you can see it. Those type of, you mean a phlegmatic person, if you take them to a party, they notice every detail. They notice who isn't interacting with who. You know, I have a friend who's a phleg, like her primary or her main temperament, she's phleg. If I go somewhere with her, sometimes me and her, we go to church together and we could be at church and I wouldn't notice some things. She would notice which husbands and wife were fighting, like by little interactions, like who doesn't say hi, who doesn't touch, who doesn't do this. Like she will be giving me a rundown and it's because she's phleg. So she's laid back and she's observed the whole service and she's seen everything. There's nothing she hasn't missed. She's noticed which husbands and wives are not happy right now. Not because of like, oh, because she can really tell people. No, it's because she's really observant. She's noticed everything, and she's giving me a full put on in the car now. Yeah, and I'm getting all the tea, all the everything. She's telling me everything. And phlegmatics can be an accuser because you are so laid back, so chill, so calm, so relaxed that you begin to notice when other people fall short. So pray for yourself if you are phleg that you will not be so critical. Maybe you'll always notice it. You always notice when people fall short, but pray that you won't be critical. You won't have a critical heart. And I believe it will be a blessing. Amen. Amen. So as we close, let's just take a few moments and pray for ourselves. Pray for ourselves that this message on accusation, this is it. This was the final week. This was the final everything on accusation, that this message on accusation will produce a fruit in our lives. You know, really pray for yourselves. For the next 3 minutes, we're going to pray that we'll become fruitful Christians because of this message, that something will change in our lives because of this message on accusation. I believe we have a prayer soundtrack we can pray. Let's just pray along with the music and pray and be blessed that God will truly, truly help us to be different. God will truly, truly help us to become fruitful through this message. Amen. Father, I pray for ourselves, oh God. I pray from my heart, oh God, that you will help me to become fruitful, oh Lord. You will help me to become fruitful because of this message, that this message on accusation will change me, Lord. This message on accusation will help me, God. Give me the grace, oh God. Give me the grace, oh Lord, that I need to become fruitful, God. May I be a good ground. May I be a good ground that can receive your word. May I be a good ground, oh Lord. Pray for yourself to become a good ground. Pray for yourself to become a fertile ground. Pray for yourself to become a prosperous ground. Just pray for yourself that this message, this is it. This message on accusation has been a blessing. then it will help you. It will help you. It helps sustain you. It'll help keep you. It'll help guide you. It'll help order your footsteps. Ma kare baba, bala ba se kare baba, se kare baba. Ba se kare baba, se yana ma ma se kare baba. Just pray for yourself. God, I pray that you will make us into a good ground, a strong ground, oh God, a good ground, a ground that will receive your word, that will hear it, will accept it, oh God. Let it produce a fruit 100 times what has been sown, oh God. Lord, Basi Kari Baba, Le Baba, Bakari Baba, Bale Baba, Se Kari Baba, Se Kari Baba. Le Baba, Se Anama, Kari Baba, Se Kari Baba, Radaba. Just continue to pray. Pray for your heart, pray for your mind, oh God, that this message will produce something in you. Let this message not be unfruitful. May this message do something for you. Makari Baba, Se Anama, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. May this message produce a fruit. May this message produce a fruit. May you not become an accuser. May you not become employed by Satan, oh God. May Satan's plans not affect your life. May the plans to send an accuser, may his plans to reach you, his plans to affect you, not impact you. May they not touch you. Oh God, Masa Kariba Shayanama Le Baba. Ba Kariba. Ba la ba se kariba ba se kariba ba se kariba ba. Rada baba la baba kariba ba se kariba ba. Bakaba, bakaba, bakariba, makaba, 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 makaba. Yes, Lord, help us, oh God. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh God. Let us not be like those who accuse, oh God. May we not become accusers ourselves, oh God. Help us, oh God, that Satan's plans, oh God, they will not come and impact our lives, oh God. They will not come and impact our lives, Lord. They will not come and touch us. They will not come and change us, oh God. May this message increase our wisdom, increase our understanding, increase our scope of knowledge, oh God, and the scope of knowledge on your word. May we grow gradually. May we grow, increase us, oh God. Yes, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this wisdom, this maturing that you've had for us in our lives, oh God, through your message on accusation. Lord, I thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Continuing to pray. If it's your first time here with us today in church, or you are maybe a born-again Christian, but maybe you've fallen away a bit from Christ, or maybe you want to realign yourself back with Christ, realign yourself back on the right path, you know, just you can come off of mute if you would like, but please repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus, I want to experience your mercy today.
Lord Jesus, I want to experience your mercy today.
I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for my sins.
I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins.
I admit I'm a sinner in need of a Savior.
I admit I'm a sinner in need of a Savior.
And I'm inviting you into my heart and into my life right now.
And I'm inviting you into my heart and my life right now.
Come into my life and forgive me of my sin.
Please come into my life and forgive me of my sin.
Live in me as my leader from now on. I believe in you.
Live in me as my leader from now on. I believe in you.
Thank you for being a God who is rich in mercy.
Thank you for being God who is rich in my life.
Amen. 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 So we believe, you know, as you said today's prayer, that you have now accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and personal Savior. If it is your first time saying this prayer, you can obviously touch base with me after service today, and I can connect with you. I can also grant you a book as well, a special gift as well. Amen.